More travelers reported coming around a corner in their boat and seeing Milne, brown as a berry, painting in his canoe. "If I'm allowed to pick my own heaven," he wrote, "this is it."
Elizabeth Hay in an essay produced in Salford by Andy Denwood. And you can see the artwork, Painting Place 3 by David Milne, on the Radio 3 website.
Wherever you are this festive season, let Radio 3 take you on a tour of Europe for a day-long feast of Christmas music. Come to the Frauenkirche in Dresden, or the Scala Theatre, Stockholm, or experience Christmas in Prague, Helsinki, Copenhagen, or Sofia, as we link up with radio stations across Europe for a day of festive music. A day of Christmas music, this Sunday from 1 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
Broadcasting on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and in HD sound online. It's just after 11 o'clock. Time now for Jazz on 3, the best in contemporary jazz, presented by Jez Nelson.
Hello. Tonight, a wholly original blend of New York jazz and Cuban music tradition. Piano player David Vareyes exploring sacred rituals through a 21st century prism in a standout gig from the London Jazz Festival, that coming up in just a few moments. Let's kick things off closer to home, though. A new band put together by drummer Jay Davis features the excellent guitarist Rob Luft and on trombone Owen Dawson. And I really like the kind of combination of lazy trombone and darting guitar riffs. This is Big Bad Wolf and Flats in Dagenham.
Thank you.
A group with a great name, Big Bad Wolf, and a brilliantly named piece as well, Flats in Dagenham, led by drummer Jay Davis. And they're a young group, and actually we featured Jay as part of the BBC introducing scheme a couple of years ago. Right, well, our concert tonight is one that's certainly going to stay with me for a long time. Music inspired by the Afro-Cuban sacred traditions, masterminded by one of the most interesting piano players to emerge in the last 5 years or so, Cuban-born, New York resident David Vera. We've heard him on this programme before with Steve Coleman and Thomas Stanko. Kevin Legendre is with me. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Jess.
I said it on the night, I tweeted that, you know, I've been going to gigs for 30-odd years and it's amazing you can still hear something completely new. I just wasn't prepared for this in any way, and I think it was my highlight of the Jazz Festival. A brilliant gig.
One of mine too. I think for people who are interested in Cuban jazz and Cuban music in particular, this is really something special because he's taking ritual and arranging it in a very, very interesting way with lots of space. And the great thing about it is how he can break it down to just one or two notes in certain places in the performance, and you're gripped by it.
OK, well, we're going to talk more about that later on. And you interviewed David on the afternoon of the gig, so we'll be listening to what he's got to say about the rhythms and the sacred traditions involved in this music. But let's now go immediately to the first part of the concert with David Reyes on piano, Roman Diaz on percussion and vocals, Vicente Archer on double bass and Gerald Cleaver on drums, recorded at King's Place. This is a piece called Lengua. Thank you.
creación del pensamiento. En Bogo, la música como canal. Evocación, invocación, en Bogo. Invoco al ser. Invoco al centro. Invoco. Invoco al cuerpo, al alma. El texto y la voz. Thank you.
Tom y Yamba. Hacer a Xavi acá.
David Villiers and his group Umboko recorded as part of the London Jazz Festival at King's Place with Roman Diaz on percussion and vocals, Vicente Archer on double bass and Gerald Cleaver on drums. And we'll have more from that concert coming up in around about 10 minutes' time. My guest is Kevin Legendre. Kevin, it's interesting, actually, because that was a pause in the music. People didn't know whether to applaud or not, because it was in a sense, a suite of music.
Absolutely. A continuous whole, which I think is really, really important for the kind of religious aspect of the music, the sacred aspect of the music, where it is this ceremony to a certain extent.
And there's a lot going on in this music. It's very much multi-layered, and I know you spoke to David about that.
That's right. We spoke about all of the Cuban elements in the music, Cuban jazz and Cuban folk music, but also the avant-garde jazz element, which is really strong. That's something that David is very interested in. But we started off talking about the Abukwa religion, which is really a prominent part of the whole music. And Roman Diaz, the percussionist and vocalist who practices this religion, explained with David translating.
Bueno, Abukwa es una sociedad.
He's saying that Abukwa is a society, is a religion, is a brotherhood that survived in Cuba since 1836.
1836.
The society itself has its origins in something that's practiced in West Africa, specifically in Nigeria, called Ekpe, or the Society of or Brotherhood of the Leopard.
So these are descendants of slaves, presumably.
Yes.
And presumably that the social function and all of the performance or the ritual that comes around it, that is it rooted in music and text, poetry? Mm-hmm. What kind of elements are we talking about?
Yeah, there's a lot of different elements, just like with any African tradition that we have in Cuba. It's multi-layered. It's not only music, but it's also obviously ritual, it's dance. There's also different kinds of graphic language.
So you mean a kind of calligraphy and
yes,
text?
Yes, yeah, kind of like hieroglyphs, you know, or something similar to that.
Este es un canto que habla de tambor.
So this particular chant is talking about the master drum called bongo en chemilla, which is kind of an improvising drum, even though it has a very specific musical language, and inviting the brothers to the ceremony.
It's like a welcome?
Yes. Como dando la bienvenida. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Gracias. So that was Roman Diaz giving me a spontaneous demonstration of one of the chants.
What a voice, Kevin.
A real voice and a real charisma on stage as well. That he was quite magnetic. I think everybody was drawn to him. But the other thing which I think is really important is that this shows us another aspect of Cuban music. It's not entertainment. It's not music that you'll just get up and dance to. It's music that you really have to concentrate on. And you enter the world that they create.
So I probably could count on the fingers of one, maybe two hands, the number of times we featured sort of Latin jazz, if you like, on this program over the last 10 years or so, whether that be from Cuba or anywhere else. But I guess there are some artists who, like David, are taking it in a new direction.
Absolutely. I suppose the term Latin jazz in itself would not entirely be appropriate to what they're doing here. I mean, it's difficult to describe this music because the religious and ritual aspect is so important, yet at the same time, they're drawing on jazz, they're drawing on the history of Cuban jazz as well. But the end result, when they put these different things together, is definitely not Latin jazz.
No.
It's something else. And the other key person who's done similar things, kind of drawing on Cuban music and ancient ritual in Cuban music, is Steve Coleman, who in turn has influenced a whole generation of Cuban jazz musicians like David Vareles, who was in his group Reflex, who we recorded several years ago. So David was more than happy to talk about the influence of Steve Coleman on him.
Well, for me, it was the rhythmic concept, because it sounded to me like it was something that was already in folkloric forms, like some of the Afro-Cuban folkloric forms, but they were dealt with differently, and so that opened me up to a whole other set of musical ideas, you know, like how to deal with some of these rhythms in a different way, altering the lengths of certain rhythmic cycles and have them happen at the same time and switch, you know. So that's something that I learned from Steve, and that I believe is one of his main contributions to music.
Thank you.
As you know, one of Steve's great influences is Henry Threadgill.
Of course.
And that whole school of, for want of a better term, avant-garde musicians coming out of Chicago and New York, that's been very much grist to his mill. Mm-hmm. Is it true to say that there's another, maybe two generations of Cuban musicians who've embraced more of the quote-unquote avant-garde, or let's say the out musicians, people who play out more so than in the mainstream? Or maybe they always did and we just didn't know about it.
Well, I know that there are isolated examples of different people that have looked to that music. And also, I see a connection, too, with what was happening with classical composers in Cuba, you know, because they were using some of these folkloric forms and different types of music and bringing that into their arsenal, you know, like people like Amadeo Roldán and Alejandro García Caturla. Even though their work happened in the 20s and 30s, I see a kind of connection with what happened later in the United States and how they were trying to get to that sort of folklore, you know, somehow, but bringing it with a modern sensibility.
Amadeo Roldán and a piece called Rítmica Number 5, written in 1930. My guest is Kevin Legendre. We're going to go back very soon to the second part of the concert from David Reyes at the recent London Jazz Festival. Kevin, interesting to hear him talking about the classical connection there. And there's a tradition of classical conservatoire training tradition in Cuba. And of course, lots of jazz musicians have come through that.
Absolutely, which is partly connected to the whole political history of Cuba as well. The links with Russia, students actually going to Russia to study classical music and then coming back and applying their knowledge and spreading their knowledge in Cuba.
So do you hear that coming through in David's playing?
I think there are definitely elements of his classical training, and also this meeting, as he talked about in the clip there, between classical music and the avant-garde.
Okay, so as we go into the second part of this gig, we're going to hear another 45 minutes from this concert now. As I say, on the night I tweeted and said, wow, this was amazing, because I hadn't heard anything quite like it before, this extraordinary blend of kind of complex but moving Cuban rhythms with some quite sort of out avant-garde but sort of gentle New York jazz. And I said how much I enjoyed it, and most people kind of came back and said yes, it was amazing. A couple of people said they were completely baffled by it.
That doesn't surprise me at all, because I think some people would have gone to that gig expecting to hear some hard swinging, hard grooving Latin jazz. Because unfortunately, and we did talk about this as well, there is that perception or misconception or cliche of the Cuban musician who's going to come on and do lots of Montuno, Descarga stuff with real flourish in the keyboard and get everybody dancing. And that's absolutely not what this guy's doing at all. So anybody who wants Latin jazz is not going to find it here, because he's not doing that.
I think this concert bears repeated listening. I think, on the other hand, despite, you know, the efforts that we've made over the last 15 minutes or so to explain the traditions that are behind this and the combinations of the different kind of music, there is a level on which you can just sit back and let it kind of engulf you.
Absolutely. There's a lot of stillness and a lot of space in the music as well. There are times when he's breaking things down just to quite simple lines, two or three notes, or just do a couple of chords, and then it takes off, or it just builds up into a lot of complex rhythmic intricacy. And I think if you do just embrace it or let yourself be drawn into it, you can get a lot out of it.
Kevin, thank you very much for joining us and for your conversation with David and Roman. Thanks, good to see you again.
My pleasure.
Let's go back for the second half of this concert then. As I say, 45 minutes of music from David Reyes's Un Boco with Roman Diaz on percussion and vocals, Gerald Cleaver on drums, and on this occasion, Vicente Archer swapping his double bass for the bass ukulele. Thank you.
Claro. Va con Quiro, hacele, Meñón.
Thank you. puede usar. Eco usagaré. Hacer butanga en ver.
Thank you.
You're listening to Jazz on 3 and a concert recorded at the London Jazz Festival from the Cuban piano player David Vireas and his Umboco band. Three more pieces to enjoy now, starting with Spectral.
Thank you. Thank you.
María Lao. María Lao. Banderillero africano, María Lao, ¿quién es? Ia, añongo, ya veromo, aproce mi cena, ni va. María Lao. María Lao, ¿quién es? Banderillero africano, María Lao. Unanga Musagara. Can de Juan de Oirio, me fue con Duende Ivo.
Thank you. Vicente Archer on the bass. Vicente Archer on the bass. Gerald Cleaver on the drums. Gerald Cleaver on the drums. Roman Diaz on percussion and vocals. Roman Diaz. Thank you.
David Varier's Umboko, an extraordinary concert from the recent EFG London Jazz Festival, recorded at the King's Place venue for Jazz on Three. And they ended their set with an arrangement of a piece called Canción de Cuna del Niño Negro, written by the Cuban composer Amadeo Roldán, who David was talking about with Kevin earlier on in the programme. And the album Umboko, which is largely different material but with a very similar approach, is out now on ECM Records. Next week, we have beautiful and atmospheric music of a different kind as the Northern Lights season continues here on BBC Radio 3. We've Norwegian singer Sidsel Endresen in concert with the guitarist Stian Vesterhus. It's an extraordinary gig. Really enjoyed it. Look forward to sharing that with you on next week's programme. And there's more Norwegian music on Jazz Lineup this coming Saturday as Julian Joseph presents a performance from the piano player Tord Gustafsson. And we're off to the far north as well to end tonight's programme. The entire country of Iceland is composer of the week all this week on BBC Radio 3, reflecting the tiny population there. It's certainly fair to say that Icelandic jazz musicians with any sort of international reputation have been fairly rare over the years. I wonder if you can name any. If you can, email me jazzon3@bbc.co.uk. One we have featured is the guitar player Ilmar Jensen as part of the Bureau of Atomic Tourism, who we featured earlier this year. And when we invited the Icelandic piano player and Reykjavik Jazz Festival director Sunna Gunnlaugs to share more of the country's music with us, she chose two very different bands that include Jensen. So here's Sunna to introduce them. From me, Jazz Nelson, a very good night.
From my view, I think there's a lot of influence from Icelandic pop music or folk music. Or when growing up, we sing a lot in school. So there's an underlying melodic focus, maybe, on the music. It's a bit of melancholy, maybe. And I think it's only natural that an artist is influenced by the surroundings. So I think, yeah, the landscape, the space, and the mountains and everything has an effect on our expression. I picked two tracks to share with you, and both are from CDs that were released at Reykjavik Jazz Festival last August. One is brand new trio. So Hilmar Jensen, Icelandic guitarist, and Ska McLemore, who's an American drummer based in Iceland, and Angelica Nisier, who is a saxophonist based in Germany. Hilmar he's been around for a while, and he definitely can play anything. But I think he's a very respected guy here in Iceland, and he has maybe a cult following. I find it also interesting to bring these musicians from three countries together, and Iceland kind of being between the U.S. and Europe, and it's a very powerful band. Very individual voices, all three of them, and great compositions that have a strong theme, but also so much freedom for them to improvise. And this tune is called, okay, here's the tricky part, Nor ol Irem. But if you read it backwards, it's merry-go-round. Thank you. other band is called Mogil, led by the vocalist Heiða Árnadóttir. She's classically trained, and they really draw inspiration from Icelandic traditional music or songs. And what I find interesting is just how they blur the lines. I mean, are they a jazz band? Maybe not. You know, are they a folk band? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, they just have a little bit of everything. And the instrumentation's also a little bit unusual. Guitar and trumpet, violin and clarinet. It's pretty neat how they blend old Icelandic songs and poems to create like a musical experience.
Hello and welcome to Through the Night on BBC Radio 3. I'm Katrina Young, and first tonight we're going to be privy to a rare partnership between the young American pianist Claire Huang-Si and a composer she's become very closely associated with, Frédéric Chopin. When Claire gave this recital in August 2014, she'd already won two very high-profile Chopin competitions, one in Germany and one in the United States. And we're going to hear her performing in the Polish spa town of Dushniki Zdrój, where Chopin himself once spent a recuperative holiday. He wasn't the only composer on her programme. She also played Brahms and Scarlatti, but she began with Chopin, his 24 Preludes, Opus 28.